The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Watching the Throne is brought to you by you, the listener. We've chosen to keep the show ad-free and only ask for something small in return. Please head to iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. Those reviews really help with our exposure. And if you'd like to make a small monetary contribution, head to patreon.com/kanyepodcast, where you can donate increments of as small as $1 per month. Thank you so much, and stay wavy.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we are doing a story with Leon Lang. Leon, thanks for being here, and why don't you tell everybody about yourself?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity. Again, Leon Lang. I'm a journalist, photographer. My website's vigoronline.com. It's a website that covers music in the Pennsylvania area. And I've been doing that, been doing the music journalism for roughly 15 years.
So you're kind of right in that same realm of when Kanye got started.
Yes. Yes. I definitely wanted to talk about that because in the early 2000s, I wasn't a big fan of the early 2000s hip hop. So by the time Kanye came out, it was a breath of fresh air. Because I back then I was into more of the Mos Def's, Talib Kweli,
Black Star,
those type of guys, and they kind of faded away a little bit by like the late 90s, and even going further back, which is also going to connect with Kanye as well, is I'm a huge Native Tongue fan, which consists of like Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Common. And you'll see, you know, obviously, I would say that Kanye is like a descendant of the Native Tongues because he ended up enlisting Q-Tip into Good Music, and he collaborated with Mos Def, which also I think Mos Def is also a descendant of the Native Tongue family.
So that was really kind of game changing for you. When Kanye came to the scene and was just doing everything that he was doing with the soul samples, were you a fan of his production leading up to that?
Yes, from day one. I was a fan of Kanye from day one. College Dropout was a great album. Just like Kanye, the brand, it was a breath of fresh air. And I knew he had more to offer. When he came out with College Dropout, I was just like, wow, this guy, you know, he really speaks his mind. He's really into the production thing. I didn't know too much about him as a whole artist, you know, as far I didn't know he was that artsy until like later on, which, you know, once I found that out, you know, I co-signed him, you know, all the way. But even in the beginning, you know, knowing that he collaborated with like the Mos Def and, you know, people like that, I was just, again, just a fan of him from day one, because in the early 2000s, I was listening more to Neo Soul than I was hip-hop. Like I was still listening to hip-hop, but I was always into the alternative urban music, and you know, Kanye fits right into that subgenre. So yeah, when he came out, it was a breath of fresh air.
And then you were saying earlier that like a lot of people connect with the old school soul samples that Kanye used in College Dropout, but you had a more personal connection with a lot of the Jamaican samples he was using on Yeezus.
Yes. Yes, I do. So from what I read, I was doing some reading too. there were four songs in particular where Kanye had Jamaican samples. I Am a God, which is one of my favorite Kanye songs ever. I'm In It, Send It Up, and Guilt Trip. Guilt Trip samples Popcon, a current reggae artist. And I also wanted to mention that I think Yeezus might have even inspired Drake, who is a Drake, Kanye protege, because when Yeezus was released June 18th, 2013, roughly 5 years ago, and then 2 years later, Drake released If You're Reading This, and Drake's, that, you know, that project also consisted of some, had some reggae content where, you know, Drake had Popcon on there during those interludes. So, you know, just going back to Kanye, though, with his Jamaican references, you know, that made me really identify with him as an artist, with, you know, his appreciation for the Jamaican culture. And then in his song, Devil in a New Dress, you know, he says, I hit the Jamaican spot at the bar, take a seat. I ordered you jerk. She said, you are what you eat. I mean, that too. I mean, that was just one of my most memorable Kanye lines. Again, and it's just his just love for different cultures, and you know, it's just again just another reason why I can identify with him as an artist.
What do you make of the Jamaican samples in Yeezus and how they integrate in? Like, do you view them as just kind of soundscape? Do you view them as like playing into the emotion of the album?
Good, that's a good question. I think Kanye, he's a true artist. He's an artist. I think everything he does is organic and effortless. I think, you know, at the time, that's probably what he was just feeling at the time. And I do think it does, I think it does fit into the Yeezus album. You know, the Yeezus album is a little abrasive, and some of the samples that he uses are a little abrasive. Some of the reggae artists, like some of the dancehall artists that he uses, are a little abrasive, you know, as far as their delivery. So I do think that those samples work. Again, Kanye's always in his own lane. He's always gonna think outside the box, you know. I don't hear too many current artists nowadays using reggae samples. I mean, they do, but. Again, I think he was just thinking outside the box and just saying, you know what, you know, this is where I'm at right now. You know, I'm feeling some of these, you know, Jamaican vibes. Let me incorporate this in the album.
What's cool to me about that is it's not like something where he just used some Jamaican references for one song. And you can kind of tell that it was just more like, I want to do this with this one song and make this like the Jamaican song. And then none of the rest of the album sounds like that, but that he kind of integrates it into the texture of the album in a way that doesn't feel just like cashing in on the sound, but feels like something that's part of the album.
I agree. As a matter of fact, you know, it wasn't until like after a few listens, I'm like, wow, he's real. You know, he has a number of Jamaican references, whether it's samples, whether it's something that he said lyrically. And you're right. I mean, as an artist, he has that knack to, you know, to weave different productions, different samples into his album, and he does it effortlessly, you know. So you know, I commend him on doing what he does. It's just, you know, he's a true artist, you know. And as I was saying before we started the show, how, you know, I identify with him just being an artist, just being into the fine arts, being into music. You know, he was an art student, and I typically find those rappers who are into the arts, you know, they really can, you know, appreciate making music and the details with making music, whether it's, you know, lyric, whether it's the lyrics, whether it's the production. Even, I mean, look at his artwork, you know, everything from like Graduation to his rollout with his albums. You know, being at Madison Square Garden, you know, all of that's an artist thinking, you know, he's like, he's not just going to say, okay, you know, I'm just going to drop this album make a couple million and, you know, that's that. No, he wants to really, you know, make a statement. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are times that people have said, whether on like Twitter or Reddit, when talking about Kanye, they're like, Kanye's just not that deep. And I always laugh and think like, well, I say, not just think, but, you know, he had an English professor as a mom. And then he and his dad in the summers would just go to museums. That was their favorite thing to do. And it's just like somebody that grew up with explanations of the depth of art, like going around museums and seeing all the time, like this painting meant this and had this reference and had like this intention, the style here, like all those kind of explanations that are at museums, to think then that he's just making art that has only superficial meanings to it and only superficial context just seems crazy to me.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. I mean, and you and I, we're true fans. So we know him as an artist. We know where his inspiration is coming from. We know what he means. You know, we can appreciate, you know, his body of work. You know, talking more about, you know, him being an artist, I thought it was pretty cool. Although I don't know how the show would have done, but I was also thinking about his show that never saw the light of day, Alligator Boots.
Oh yeah. His,
I was you know, I was watching a video on that, and I thought he and Kim Kardashian, I thought they had met, from what I had read before, I thought they had met through Brandy, the singer Brandy, because if I'm not mistaken, Kim was a makeup artist for Brandy, and Kanye and Brandy did a song together, and I thought that was how they met. But from what I read in Alligator Boots, I don't know if it was maybe a second time they met, but I know, you know, Kim had did one of the, you know, the pilot shows where she had dressed up as Princess Leia, and Kanye was dressed as a stormtrooper, which was cool because, like, as I said before the interview started, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm not sure how the show would have done. Obviously, it didn't do too well because what was it? Comedy Central never, you know, aired the show. So
yeah, I guess the bar for Comedy Central shows, you don't think would be too high. And given who Kanye is, you would imagine they would have at least given it a shot if it was that level. But then at the same time, who knows? Maybe it was great. I remember watching some of the clips and things at one point and also having that same reaction, like, I don't know. I want to like it, but I don't know.
Yeah. You're right. And for all we know, it might have been Kanye. You know, you and I know Kanye is a perfectionist. It might have been him. He might have watched it and said, you know what? This might jeopardize my brand. You know, it's kind of funny. It's a little funny, but, you know, it's not where I want it to be. You know, and he probably just, you know, canceled the whole idea. So for all we know, he might have pulled the plug on the show.
Yeah, just like whatever. Just like he's pulled the plug on. I mean, that was one of the things when he just recently announced all the albums that are coming out. How many people were just like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a perfectionist. So, like I said, you know, sometimes he may have an idea and then he'll work on it. And then, you know, say, well, you know what, this is not going to work, which, you know, you can appreciate that, you know, because, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So.
Yeah, and I think that gets into some of his recent tweets where he was said, like, people want real ideas. You only get better through iteration. You can't just rely on hype, because if you hype something but never try to make it or never try to do it, then you're never going to improve upon whatever the idea was. Like, we need to get things into the world just to see if they work. And if they don't, you can learn from it and make something else. So, I mean, he's an example of that for sure.
Oh, of course. And again, it just goes back to him being putting out quality work. Like you said, some artists might just say, oh, I'm just going to put this out. You know, it's not exactly what I wanted, but I'm putting it out. Where Kanye is a perfectionist. He believes in quality. He believes in this brand. So he may, you know, test it out, and, you know, he might have a few of his peers listen to it and they may not like it. So he might go, he'll go back and tweak it, or he'll just, you know, just pull the plug on it entirely. So, you know, that's yet another reason why I like him as an artist, is just his ability to really focus on quality work.
Speaking of quality work, when College Dropout first came out, what songs were jumping out to you as being like kind of the ones that first hooked you and you thought were game changers?
You know what? Honestly, I don't even really listen to College Dropout as much now. Jesus Walks, I would have to say, was one that probably stuck out the most, because, I mean, you didn't really hear any rappers talking about, you know, religion or Jesus. And, you know, that's, you know, obviously, you know, religion was important in his household. So I think that was the beginning of Kanye being in his own lane and said, you know what, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I don't care, you know, whether, you know, radio plays this or not, you know, this is, you know, what I feel, this is my upbringing. So I would say that was showing the potential. Again, when I heard College Dropout, I said it's a good album, and I said I see even more potential. That was one of the first things I thought about Kanye when I first, you know, heard his music. Was I said, you know, this guy has some potential to really, you know, do something.
And was Late Registration a next step forward towards that potential?
Oh, of course. You could hear his production just got even more polished. I think his production got more polished. The artwork, you could just hear it. I mean, like, you know, some of my favorite songs on there is like Drive Slow. You could just hear, you know, Diamonds. Again, you could just, every album, he just, you know, just became more polished and just more, you know, free-spirited, more artsy. You know, you could just see the evolution of an artist, you know, through his catalog.
I've never really thought about, I mean, I think I've realized it on some level, but I've never really actually thought about that upgrade in art from Late Registration to Graduation.
It was, well, kind you of, said, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Just the album cover for Late Registration is, mm-hmm, like interesting, but it's not even close to the level of Graduation or 808's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, just in terms of that kind of eye-catching aesthetic.
Yeah, it was more minimal, and Kanye, as we both know, he can be minimal at times. You know, Late Registration was more of a kind of a classy type of art. Mm. You know, because what it was, I think part of the art was in like a church, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember all the details of the album, but I think it was more of a, you know, just he was going for like a more of a minimal, classy look to the album, whereas and like you said, that the Graduation album was just like, wow, you know, he had that. I think the art was consistent with the music, where it was, you know, he had more of that stadium sound, mm-hmm, in Graduation, and the art was the same way. It was just, you know, kind of more like, you know, in your face type thing, where it was, you know, it was colorful. It was just nothing you've seen before in a hip hop album before. You know, it was just, you know, that anime inspired work. I think that, you know, really started to show, okay, this guy is, you know, he's definitely in his own lane.
Yeah, right. And then that content on there, like, I do love how you're saying the cover reflects the music, because in Graduation, that cover feels very hyperbolic, and so much of Graduation to me is getting into that like hyperbolic next level of Kanye, mm-hmm, where it's just everything's exaggerated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and again, that's probably where he was at the time, you know. And it was a good time for him. I think it was a good time. That was right around the time, if I'm not mistaken, where he released his Yeezus Nike sneakers. You know, so it was a good time for Kanye right around that time. You know, he was starting to attain some of his goals that he wanted to. You know, when he was a producer with Jay-Z on Rockefeller, you know, he was kind of being held back at the beginning. You know, they weren't taking him seriously as a rapper. And that's another story that I like, you know, about Kanye, is the fact that he was being denied, you know, being an artist, being a true rap artist, and even, you know, and even as a designer, you know, there were some companies that really didn't take him seriously as a designer, and he always proved those naysayers wrong, and you know, so I think a bunch of us as Kanye fans can identify with that, where, you know, I'm sure at one point in our lives, we were told we weren't able to achieve that goal, and we did, and it's a great feeling.
Absolutely, and I still think that's kind of at the core of so much of his admiration for Trump, is because Trump was this celebrity figure that was told, you can't get into politics, mm-hmm, the same way that Kanye was consistently told, you can't do this, you can't be this, get out of here, mm-hmm, and he overcame that. From that perspective and that very like narrow view of what Trump did, I absolutely understand why Kanye is just like, yes, that's it.
Yeah. Again, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, you know, but again, I'm sure we can all identify with something about Trump. And you're right. That's probably what, you know, one of the things that Kanye likes about Trump is his ability to, you know, to become president. But, you know, I thought that MAGA hat was too far. And I know some people may get philosophical about it and say, well, you know, he's his own person. He can like who he wants to like. But I don't think the hat is consistent with Kanye as a person. I know, no matter how, you know, I understand, you know, he's unpredictable. And just like the one gentleman said on your podcast, the only predictable thing about Kanye is him being unpredictable, you know. But I think, I don't know, some part of me is telling me that he did it for shock value as well. You know, because, you know, people always say, you know, Kanye, you love him or hate him, you know. And I think he kind of gets a thrill out of that sometimes. And I to me, you know, I'm always going to, you know, like Kanye as an artist, but that, you know, the MAGA hat, I did not agree with, just because of who he is as a person and what Trump stands for. I just don't think, I think the MAGA hat was too far. Yeah. We can identify with him and we can say things we like about him, but Kanye, he's a leader. He's a political leader, whether, you know, whether he's wearing a suit or not, he, you know, people look up to him. You know, he's an activist, you know, even though he's not, you know, outside picketing, you know, you can hear the activism in his music. A lot of people look up to him. So when he did that, I think he, you know, he definitely alienated his fans on that.
Because it really seemed on that day, the like April 25th, 2018, it seems like some sort of like a day that'll live in infamy, that there was a tide, seeing the hat turn the tide, because it was far more visceral than the tweets. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, okay, he's saying these things, there's nuance to the words, we can discuss that. But then just the visual of him in the hat is a completely different context than everything that was said.
You're right. And that's the thing too, you know, people can interpret, you know, the photo, you know, they say picture is worth 1,000 words. And so, you know, I don't know what his motive was behind posting his photo. Some people think it's a publicity stunt. I'm not sure what it is, but at the end of the day, you know, he's wearing a Trump hat and we know what Trump stands for. We know Trump hasn't been honest on many occasions. So for that reason, I don't care, you know, like I said, I don't care how some people want to defend him and get philosophical with it and say, well, you know, he's an individual thinker. He still alienated his fans, you know, with that. And it's just not consistent with who he is as a person and his beliefs, you know? So that's my thought on that.
Yeah. It, in a weird way, reminds me of an experience that I had. I lived in Australia for a year and, you know, I'm away from everybody, away from like a lot of American culture, Western culture. And I'd see people wearing like Cleveland Indians hats, where I'm originally from Cleveland, or like a Cleveland Cavs hat or LeBron jersey or something. And no Browns hats, of course, but I'd I'd be like, yo, Cleveland Indians. And people would look at me and I'd be like, your hats. And then just kind of look up and be like, it's just a hat.
Okay.
But it's not, though. It's not just that had meaning. Like, there's a group of fans that relate to that hat. And I feel like it's the same kind of situation with the MAGA hats. Like, Kanye's kind of viewing it as like, no, this is, like, to me, it's just this. And it's like, well, to everybody else, it's this.
Of course. It's definitely more symbolic than what he thinks. Yeah, like you said, he was just probably just doing it as, hey, you know, I'm Trump's friend, you know, we can relate with a few things, but other people are like, wait a minute, you know, there's a movement going on out here, you know, even, you know, Chance, I heard, you know, recanted his statement, Chance the Rapper, you know, recanted his statement because he was defending Kanye as anyone should, you know, he calls him his brother. And, you know, and even you and I'm sure we've had to defend Kanye when we're out in public on occasions. But you know, Kanye will be Kanye, you know, I still appreciate him as a person, as an artist, and, you know, we'll see what happens next.
That's very, very true.
Yeah.
So when Graduation came out, you were a few years into your music journalism career. Did starting into that world change the perception you had about Kanye at all, or deepen the admiration you had for him?
Yeah, it gave me, I've been listening to hip hop since day one. You know, I'm 43 years old. So I've listened to hip hop. I mean, I've listened to, when I was younger, I've listened to everyone from like KRS-One, Slick Rick. So when I heard Graduation, I was like, wow. I said, you know, hip hop has definitely come a long way. And I like the fact how Kanye started to transcend genres. You know, he became more of a pop artist. There weren't too many hip hop albums really doing that, you know, where, you know, what Kanye is doing. Because I wasn't even going to, you know, get into 808s. I mean, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but
go for it.
But, you know, just that's another thing I admire about him, just his ability to transcend different genres, kind of like a Stevie Wonder. You know, Stevie Wonder's, you know, he's universal. He's universally, loved just because of his ability. Not every artist can do that, like, successfully, you know, not being contrived. But that's one thing I like about Kanye. With Graduation, that Graduation was kind of like the beginning of that, where he was becoming a pop artist, but he wasn't compromising who he was, or he wasn't compromising his music. You know, he was just, that was just his ability, you know, to transcend, you know, which, you know, again, you know, just as a journalist, I was excited, you know, just going back to answer your question. I was excited to be writing about, you know, artists, you know, such as Kanye. It just made it more exciting.
I can just imagine you working on other articles and just kind of like staring at the Graduation CD that's on your desk and being like, I just want to be writing about this, but I have to be writing about like another, like, just pop track that is meh.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and again, I'm an artist myself, so album art is pretty important to me. So that, you know, that Graduation album was amazing. I mean, even 808s, which, you know, I can get into next. You know, that's my favorite Kanye album. I know not everyone like, you know, puts that first for them. But I think that 808s, again, I'm into the minimalism, Kanye, and, you know, everything from the artwork to the album itself. One little interesting reference that I have with the 808s album, it reminds me of Super Mario 2. Because I'm a former gamer. Yeah. I'm a former gamer. I was a big Nintendo fan. And if you remember with, you know, the transition from Super Mario Brothers to Super Mario 2, it was definitely a departure with everything from the graphics to some of the characters. And that kind of 808s kind of reminds me of the same thing where, you know, even like the color of the albums and the Super Mario Brothers packaging, they were like similar colors where they had this like bluish type color. It's a unique reference that I use sometimes, but that's what I think about that 808s album. It was just a departure from his former music. It's a departure from hip hop as a whole. You know, he's singing on the album. I mean, yeah, we had some artists singing before. Like, I mean, you can go all the way back to 90s artists such as Grand Poobah. He used to sing on some of his albums, to artists like Mos Def. Mos Def's, you know, known for one of his popular songs, Umi Says, which is a classic song. And then, you know, years later, here comes Kanye on 808s, which was just, I just thought was a phenomenal album. And, you know, you can even like just pop radio, you know, you can play 808s on urban radio, pop radio, it doesn't matter, you know, and then it also inspired Drake, which I'm a huge Drake fan as well. So to me, that's what makes a good album, you know, not only just the music, but, you know, the type of movement that it has, kind of like even like an Illmatic, Nas's Illmatic album. That was a movement. You know, when that album came out, the first time you heard that, you were like, wow, you know, it was like that was an experience. And I think 808s, you know, did the same thing to me. It was just like, I mean, from the minute I heard Say You Will, I was just like, wow. I was like, what is this? I was like, this is like otherworldly. When I heard it, you know, it was just unpredictable, you know, and just it was a great album.
Especially, like, I think we sometimes forget what kind of a departure that was for people that had been listening to College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. When Say You Will comes on, and this is your first time hearing this new album, you're just kind of like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, you know, those first songs, you know, set the tone for the rest of the album. You know, sometimes, you know, when you hear these first albums, you're like, and you hear the first song, you're like, I don't know if I feel like listening to the rest of this album. Whereas when you heard Say You Will, that just immediately pulls you in. You're like, wow, you know, I want to listen to the next song and, you know, keep going. And as you, you know, kept going on with 808s, it was just a great album. Just, you know, one of my favorite albums of all time. 808s, and you know, not only for the music and the fact that, you know, he sings on there with, you know, with the auto tune, but he doesn't even curse on there, you know, which, you know, he can play that for his children. Just, it was, again, that's just on like non-hip-hop elements, you know. He said, you know what, I'm gonna create my own blueprint. You know, his mom passed away, and, you know, he just, you know, he had to break up with Alexis. And, you know, he just, again, this Kanye being in his own lane, he was like, you know what, I know what the rules are in hip hop. This is what I feel at the moment. I'm going to do it this way. And yep. So
let his emotions guide him rather than thinking about what he should do.
Correct. And speaking of Alexis, I just wanted to mention before we continue with the albums, I really liked that Harper's Bazaar photo shoot that they had with his ex-fiance Alexis Pfeiffer. I don't know if you remember that, where he had like the Louis Vuitton luggage and the photo. I think that was again, Kanye being a true artist, you know, being into the fashion. You start to see, you know, more of him as an artist with him doing like photo shoots like that. That was just kind of like the beginning. I'm like, okay, wow, this guy's like really into the arts. You know, he's really into the music, the production, the lyrics, the fashion. You know, that was just the beginning. You know, you could see him. You know, so when he started working with like Louis Vuitton and Nike and Adidas, it was no surprise, because he was like, okay, this guy's in like, he's a rapper in Harper's Bazaar, you know, with Louis Vuitton luggage and his wife and his dress. It was awesome.
It the whole time, I do think it was kind of a coming out party for Kanye in that way of really being able to express a lot of those elements of self that didn't really get to shine as much during College Dropout and Late Registration. Like, I think it was still surprising to people, even a few years later, that Kanye wanted to go into the fashion world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, this guy, if you look, has been so into fashion this whole time.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And you're right. And some people maybe didn't want to accept it because, again, you know, I mean, you've had artists, you know, into fashion before, but not on Kanye's level, where he's, you know, wanted to work with the fashion designers, where he wanted to, you know, appear in some of these magazines that necessarily only had like models. I mean, even to his sneakers. I mean, what other rapper do you know has been so successful with a sneaker other than an athlete? You know, I can't think of any other rap artist, a singer or whatever, who has a sneaker line so successful, you know? So, I mean, but again, he's just a man of quality. Everything he does, you know, is quality. I have an issue here. as I told you before, I have a whole bunch of Kanye magazines. Well, they're, you know, Complex and different magazines, because I collect music magazines, and there's an issue with Complex. Their April, May 2009 issue that gives a breakdown of his first Yeezus sneaker with Nike, and they actually show you like early sketchings of the sneaker.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. It shows, you know, just in the very beginning, how he was inspired by some of the Nikes from like the late 80s, which, you know, explains why there's the air pocket in the soles. But, you know, and, you know, props to Complex Magazine and Noah. Noah is like one of the few journalists that worked with Kanye over the years, like when, you know, at the time when he was really starting to ascend, you know. So, you know, I definitely want to give props to Complex, because I have like at least three issues in front of me right now with Kanye on the front cover. Because again, Complex is pretty much consistent with what Kanye likes, you know, the marrying the music and fashion, you know. So, you know, speaking of a journalist, you know, Complex was, I know they were thrilled when a guy like Kanye came on the scene, you know.
They're just like, we can, this guy's bringing our aesthetic into the mainstream world of hip hop, that it's fashion and hip hop.
Correct.
Of the magazines that you have, which one's your kind of prized possession? Yeah, favorite.
I do like these two issues of Complex. I like the one that has, you know, the breakdown with the sneakers. The one that's popular that you know, other people will talk about is the one where he the issue of Complex. It's the December 2010, January 2011 issue, where Complex goes to Hawaii to listen to the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That's a pretty cool issue, because it really gives a breakdown of Kanye, his mindset. Talks about how Nicki Minaj, she really didn't want to eat too much breakfast because she was focusing on her line, her memorable spotlight stealing performance on Monster. You know, it gives you everything. One of the most memorable quotes in a magazine that I read about Kanye was the Pusha T line that I tweeted the other day, where Pusha T, I guess, had given Kanye his first draft of Runaway.
Yeah.
And Pusha was saying how, you know, it was a little challenging for him to do the song because he had just broke up. I think he just had a breakup with his girlfriend. And Kanye came back to him and he said, Pusha said, he's telling me, yo, you need to be more douchebag. We need more douchebag. When I heard that line, it was just so hilarious because it sounds like something that Kanye would say.
Right. You can hear it.
You can visualize him saying it to Pusha, like, you know, he's trying to bring out the best artist in him, you know? And so that's a good one. I have another issue here, New York Magazine. It's the February 22nd through March 6th, 2016. This one talks about Life of Pablo. And it just talks about, you know, him being at Madison Square Garden. This one line reads, it says, Pablo's paint is still wet, which makes the fact that it occasionally approaches the grandeur of a masterpiece that much more astounding. So, you know, it's just cool to go back and read some of these things here because, you know, the tweets are cool. You know, him being on Twitter, you know, it's definitely entertaining and, you know, in this new day and age with social media and the internet. But it's equally cool to have these magazines where I can just crack them open at any time and just, you know, read them and put them away, or I can, you know, it's cool because it's a lot more to read than just the tweets.
Right. And it's something about capturing kind of that era of mindset, like the zeitgeist of Ye at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your Moby Dick of magazines? That's the one that you haven't been able to get yet, but you're trying to chase down.
You mean whether it being a Kanye or just any magazine or?
Both Kanye, but do you have one in general?
That's a good question too. I would have to look back and see. I would have to say, I wish I had more early issues of like The Source and Vibe magazine. Like, I don't have Vibe magazine's first issue, which I think Tretch from Naughty by Nature is on the front of that one. And The Source magazine, I wish I had some more early issues of those magazines. That would be pretty much it, because after that, I saved pretty much everything else, you know. Vibe and The Source used to be like how Fader is now. You know, I think they're still relevant, you know, but I don't think not as much. Whereas Fader, I think, is better at introducing new artists, which I don't believe Kanye was ever in a Fader magazine. He was more, because he doesn't really do too much of the media now. You know, mm-hmm. You can see, like, most of the magazines I have are, like, about 10 years ago. You know, like this one here, Vibe magazine, February 2009. You know, he's on the front cover of that. There's XXL magazine, October 2010. You know, one of the more recent ones that I have is Vogue, with him and Kim on the front, which you probably remember. As a matter of fact, I saw a meme. I don't know if you saw the meme with where Kanye's in the back of Kim and he's hugging Kim.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you saw the meme with Kanye and Trump.
Yep.
Where they had their take on that Vogue magazine. So that was April 2014. I have that. I have Rolling Stone with Kim Kardashian. That's July 16th through July 30th of 2015. I have a GQ with Kim Kardashian, that's July 2016, and then the last one I have is Kanye, and that's August 2014. And all of these issues have, you know, either Kim or Kanye in the front. So
that make for like a cool wall in a room, just like all framed and hanging.
Yeah.
So when you got that complex issue that had the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy stuff, that was after you'd already heard My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, right?
I believe so. I can't, because I'm not sure what the release date was for that album.
I think it was November 23rd or something of 2010.
Okay. So this would have been afterwards. So yeah, it was interesting. As far as where I would rate that album, I know a lot of people ranked that album first, which I thought was a great album. You know, I thought it was a great album. Again, he was pushing the envelope on the album, you know, sounding on hip hop. I know Questlove, which I'm a big Questlove fan. He coined that term unhip hop. You know, that was unhip hop album where, you know, it was just all over the place, grandiose album. He was, you know, not following any hip hop formulas. But the magazine just, you know, kind of gives you, you know, a better understanding of the album.
And of how he collaborates and the people that he collaborates with, right? Like Kanye and collaborations have kind of been a huge thing, especially College Dropouts. Mm-hmm. They become less featured, I guess, on Yeezus and the Life of Pablo, but there's such a core part of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I mentioned Nicki Minaj. I mean, that collaboration was pretty significant. You know, that propelled her into the hip hop stratosphere, you know, with that line, with her verse on Monster. Even on So Appalled, that was another good song with the collaborations on there. Cause I remember, Sci-Hi the Prince, who I met, and I was going to get into some of the people who I met as far as Kanye's collaborators, but I remember he kind of like snuck that song in there.
Yeah.
And if you remember the story behind that song, he wasn't originally supposed to be on the album on that song. And I mean, I thought his verse was probably one of the best on that song on So Appalled.
It helps just take the, I don't think it would be this as great of a song without Sci-Hi's verse.
Agreed. He kind of gave it that, you know, he kind of had that swag on the song. You know, it was kind of like, you know, he was rapping like right along with them, even though he was there with the heavyweights, you know, the hip hop heavyweights. He held his own on that song. He really did. I think that's probably one of the things that I appreciated the most about him on the song, was that he held his own. I don't think he felt intimidated. He was just like, look, you know, I got bars too, just like you guys, you know, and he gave a memorable performance. But like I said, Sci-Hi, I had met him backstage during a show. Common, I had the pleasure of of interviewing Common when he came to Pennsylvania. Drake, I had the pleasure of meeting him. It was more of a kind of like a high and by thing where it was right around the time Drake was about to release his Take Care album. Mm. And I just told Drake, you know, I was looking forward to listening to the Take Care album. Some other Kanye collaborators I met include Kendrick Lamar.
That guy.
he's pretty cool. That was kind of like on a, you know, high and by type thing where, you know, he was, I think he was getting ready to go on stage and, you know, kind of, you know, just, you know, gave him a pound and, you know, just, you know, gave my appreciation. Some other artists that I've met too that collaborate with Kanye includes Malik Youssef. He's a poet from Chicago. I had the pleasure of meeting him. No Malice from the Clips. Kanye collaborated with the Clips years ago. And Post Malone. I also met Post Malone. So, and I think all of those guys who I met had, you know, was definitely right in line with what Kanye does. You know, they kind of have the same, you know, similar mindset, you know, in one way or another. So, which, you know, makes those collaborations, you know, successful collaborations.
Yeah, those are a few of the important people in Kanye's realm. Like Malik is one of the people that's always around Kanye, there for Kanye, speaking with Kanye, seems to have like a big part in the career that we've seen.
Agreed. Yeah. I think some of these guys are like, well, they're his homies, you know, they're more of just musicians, you know, I think, you know, some of these guys are people he can trust, you know, some of these people he bounced ideas off of. I think some of them aren't yes men. I don't think Kanye wants like yes men around him. Like, I think if he has a song that's whack, I think he wants somebody to honestly tell him like, look, this song sucks, you know, that's, you know, start all over again. So yeah, I think Malik Yousef is one of those guys who play that role of a, you know, just a, you know, just a good peer and a good friend.
And who are you most excited to meet of that group?
I would say definitely Common and Drake. Those two, because Common, I grew up listening to. When Common first came out, I was a teenager. And I still have some of Common's songs on vinyl. So for me to end up meeting him, it's just like, you know, that I was somewhat starstruck, even though, you know, you try to be professional because, you know, I was interviewing him. I was somewhat starstruck because, you know, I was listening to him for so many years, and to finally sit down and talk with him about, you know, some of the things, talk about like some of his classic albums like Resurrection or like Soul by the Pound, some of those classic songs, or even like some of the songs that he collaborated with Kanye, like For the People, I mean, The People, or, you know, just The Corner. I wanted to definitely mention The Corner because I'm not sure if some of the Kanye fans know that Kanye directed that video, Common's video, The Corner.
I did not know that.
Yeah, from Common's album. As a matter of fact, I still have the CD that came with, I can't remember, I think it was a separate DVD that had like the making of that album for Common. And there's a segment on there where that shows you like some behind the scenes footage of Kanye working with Common on that album. But just going back to your question, I would say Kanye and Drake would be the two biggest experience that I had. Because when I met Drake, it was at Penn State, and I was right around the whole. It was like about a day or two after Joe Paterno got fired with the whole Sandusky. So that was like actually one of my most memorable concerts that I've ever covered because it was just so much going on. And all the media outlets were down there, CNN, you know, all the media outlets were down there. And I remember when I wrote the story, I think I called it like something like a concert for healing or something like that, because it was just, you know, it was a you know, big thing going on in Penn State at the time. And, you know, Kanye or Drake, you know, was, you know, he was doing his thing. He was really starting to get, you know, popular. You know, he was still kind of riding the wave of, you know, So Far Gone, you know. And so I would say those two artists, I would say, I had, you know, most memorable experiences with, Common and Drake.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome just to have Drake be there at that time and give that concert when, you know, he's such a performer and has such like popular songs that people really needed something else to unite around at that time on that campus.
Agreed. I think it was a good timing, you know, because I think actually, if not mistaken, he was even thinking of postponing it. It wasn't due to the Joe Paterno, because I think that was just like, that came like, you know, unexpected. Like, I mean, I think it was going to happen eventually, but I don't think Drake knew it was going to happen that right then and there. I think he had like some scheduling conflict and he still ended up having the show that same day. So, I mean, it worked out, you know, it worked out for the Penn State students.
Yeah. Good on Drake. Good on Drake.
Yeah.
Speaking of concerts, you got to go to both Yeezus and the St. Pablo tour.
Correct. And both shows were some unbelievable shows. I would say Life of Pablo would have been more significant to me because not only do I think just the concert itself with the moving stage was just something that was totally outside the box, but I was also able to take my son, who's a big Kanye fan too. So being able to bond with my son at the concert, and you know, and also take him to one of the best concerts I've ever been to, and I've been to tons of concerts, but I would say that I mean, just you know, during my concert review, I said that stage kind of reminded me of the Close Encounters of the, what was it called? Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
you know, that stage reminded me of that movie. It was just surreal, you know? And again, when you think of a hip hop show, you think of a DJ, the rapper, the hype man, but Kanye again, you know, thinking outside the box, it's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing here.
I did a story last week. It hasn't come out yet, but the woman Robin was saying that it blew her mind the first time she saw Kanye in concert because he was just on the stage alone, and she had gone to so many hip-hop concerts where it was the group on stage, even if it was just the rapper performing. Like, mm-hmm. there were so many people that would be on stage just having a good time, like part of mm-hmm. the crew. And to just have Kanye be alone on stage doing his thing and performing in the way that he performs really just was one of the things that stood out to her.
Yeah. yeah, that was, again, just, you know, Kanye doing what he likes to do, you know, just staying in his own lane. And just not only was, you know, he was on the stage by himself in Life of Pablo, but the stage was moving. It was moving up and down, you know, left to right. It had the lights on there. It was just, and that's what he wants. He likes the grandiose. I mean, I like the one podcast that you had. It had the comparison where the gentleman was comparing Kanye's concerts to like a Jay-Z, where, you know, Jay-Z likes to scale back because he always thinks about the bottom line, where Kanye doesn't mind, you know, not making as much off of the tour for the sake of having, you know, the type of stage production that he wants, you know, with the props and everything. So
that still would have been so fascinating to go to the Watch the Throne tour and just see their dynamic live.
Oh yeah, that definitely. I mean, Jay-Z, you know, he's like Kanye. I mean, if you think about it, both Kanye and Jay-Z, they've both been in hip hop for years. Like both of them, what Kanye's been in the industry for what, about roughly 15 years, you know, and Jay-Z even longer than that. That's unheard of in hip hop, you know, to be that relevant. I mean, even with Kanye, probably even more so now, you know, Jay-Z's taking pretty much a back seat now, you know, but for someone my age and my son's age to like a hip hop artist, that's unheard of. Like, he's relevant. Like, when he comes out in June, I mean, you have, you know, two types of demographics. You have like the Little Pump demographic, as well as, you know, the older demographic following this guy. And like I said, with in hip hop years, that's unheard of, you know, to have that type of longevity and still be relevant.
Yeah, to have people in their 40s, 30s, 20s, and teens all be excited for the same hip hop artist.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But again, he knows that he's an artist, so he understands music. He understands music. He understands what it is to be a brand, and he understands what it is to be relevant. And it's not forced. It's just who he is.
Right. Like, he's not inorganically changing his sound each time. Mm-hmm. It's just his developments and his interests.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, I mean, so yeah, definitely looking forward to these projects, all of them, you know, Pusha's project, even Teyana Taylor. I'm not sure if you've ever heard her album. Her album's a good album. If you get a chance to listen to her, it's really, it's a mellow album, but it's a good album. And, you know, she's another good fit for the whole, good music, label. You know, she's also, she understands art. She understands fashion. You know, I mean, you know, with the epic fade video,
yeah.
that was a good move for Kanye. I mean, everything from the song, because I'm big on both the song and the video. So, you know, I know people talk about the video, how it was, you know, it was an epic video, which it was. But even the song itself, I thought it was a great song. It introduced, you know, for some people who weren't following Post Malone or Ty Dolla Sign, it introduced some of the, you know, Kanye fans to Post and Ty Dolla Sign. So, I mean, you know, and that's how I look at, you know, songs, you know, not only for the production and the lyricism, but, you know, what else does it do for, you know, it can introduce, you know, like new artists and things like that. So, yeah, that was a good song. Fade was a good song and good video.
It was. And I'm low key, not even low key. Like, I feel like I know more so what kind of content I'm going to get with Pusha and Nas, and I'm excited for both of those. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's more of that, like, randomness to the Teyana Taylor album that kind of makes it more exciting to me at this moment, in terms of just being like, what's that going to sound like? What's that going to be?
You're right. I agree. Like you said, Pusha and Nas, you know, they're going to be their artists. They're more lyricists, right? So they're going to, you know, you know, you're going to hear bars. You know, you're going to hear some bars. Nas, you know, he may get a little jazzy. You know, his dad's a jazz musician. So, you know, we've heard that on Illmatic. So he may, you know, so we may get a little bit of that. But like you said, Teyana album's going to be, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the Kid Cudi and Kanye collaboration. Because going back to 808s, I think Kid Cudi was, you know, pretty significant on that album. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, he helped with the production, if I'm not mistaken, with that album. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Kid Cudi and solo project for Kanye.
Although, God, it's going to be such a good, such a good June. Getting into some of the favorites, like favorite album, favorite tracks, but you have some productions that are your favorite, just Kanye productions.
Yes, I do. I thought of three that I wanted to talk about. First one, and these artists are also some of my favorite artists as well. Tell Your Friends, The Weeknd, Tell Your Friends. You know, Kanye went back to his soul samples with that. That was a good song. You know, hearing some old school Kanye sample there. I thought that was a good production. Another production, I'm going a little back here. Some of the younger Kanye fans might not remember this song, but Alicia Keys, You Don't Know My Name. That was a really good song. Really good production by Kanye, just again showing his ability to produce songs and, you know, being able to evoke certain feelings with his production. So that was a good Kanye production. Another one which was really memorable to me was Kanye's, I'm sorry, Common's The People featuring Dwelle. the singer, neo-soul singer Dwele. That was also a good Kanye production. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned the people because the artist Dwele that was featured on the song, Dwele also appears on Kanye's Flashing Lights. And I've been following Dwele since pretty much the beginning of his career. And that's yet another reason why I like Kanye is because he finds these artists that you might not have heard of before. And he gives them a chance. And so that's why I liked the people, because it was a great production. And then it featured somebody who I've been following, because, again, I'm a big neo-soul fan. And Dwele is a neo-soul singer.
I'm excited to, when we get off of, just go listen to the songs again with, like, fresh ears.
Yeah, man. That's what I mean. I've been listening to Kanye since the beginning. Like, I'm excited for his new stuff. But like I said, I still remember his old stuff like it was yesterday. Proud of him for, you know, having that longevity. And again, just always overcoming the obstacles when people say he couldn't be a fashion designer. He couldn't, you know, he wasn't a rapper. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. It just kind of fueled him to push himself even more, you know? So.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, albums. Do you have like a top three albums?
Oh yeah, I do. So number one is definitely 808s. Mm-hmm. Hands down. There's no ifs, ands, or maybes. 808s and Heartbreaks. No questions. So that's number one. Number two is a very close second, Yeezus. Now, story behind Yeezus. When I first heard Yeezus, Chris, I was not a fan. And this is what makes a good artist. You know, I didn't understand where he was going with the Yeezus album. And I was actually upset after the first listen because I was like, now I'm going to have to wait how many more years for another Kanye album? That was the first thing I thought about. And even one of my friends, I told my friend, I was like, I don't like it. And then I gave it a few more listens and I was like, wait a minute. Now I get it. And then I went to the the Yeezus tour, the Yeezus concert, and that gave me an even better appreciation for it. Like when I heard I Am a God live, I was like, whoa. I was like, wow. I was like, wait a minute. I really like this album now, you know? So that to me is one of the best things an artist can do is, you know, kind of introduce this new sound or, you know, just a different sound and, you know, just something unpredictable. And sometimes, you know, you have to give it like a second or third listen to like really understand, you know, where the artist is coming from. And, you know, it was different. He had that industrial sound. It was, I mean, On Sight, which was like one of my favorite Kanye songs. You know, again, it was similar to 808s and Heartbreaks, where that first song set the tone for the rest of the album. You know, it had that like staticky, On Sight had like that staticky sound in the beginning. It was just like, I was like, what is this? You know, but Yeezus would definitely be my second favorite. And then for the third, I had a tie. Excuse me, with the third favorite albums, I have Life of Pablo and Graduation.
Nice.
That's a tie for my third favorite.
Which, offering two different things on those albums, what makes them tie for you?
They were just both good albums. And I just, you know, and that's the thing.
They give you
Kanye,
that feeling.
Yeah, Kanye is just, he's like some of the other artists where, you know, even some of their albums that weren't that good were still good albums. Kind of like a Drake, you know. You may say, okay, well, this album wasn't as good, but they're still, like, compared to some of the other artists, you know, there's some good albums. But to answer your question, they were good albums. They just couldn't hold up to to a, like a Yeezus or an 808s, where as far as sound wise, I think, and I think, you know, looking at both 808s and Yeezus, they were risky albums, and they worked. Like, you know, he took a risk and he was successful at it, you know, whereas I think that's probably what makes me like those albums too. Whereas I think Graduation and Life of Pablo are safer albums, but they're still good albums. They're still good albums. I just, you know, the 808s, like I said, when I first heard that, I was just like, this is just a good album. It's a departure from what you normally heard. And, again, it inspired Drake to become an artist, you know, so.
Which is huge. Well, then, do you have a top five tracks?
Yeah, I do. my two favorite happen to be two of my favorite videos as well. So, Welcome to Heartbreak is definitely one of my favorite Kanye songs. You know, he just wears his emotions on his sleeve on that album. I mean, on that song. And then the video is equally good. You know, it's just a really artsy video with Kid Cudi. Just an artsy video. And then my second favorite song. Well, it's just in no particular order, but Can't Tell Me Nothing was, I mean, that just sums up who Kanye is. That just sums up his whole career. You know, from the beginning up until now, that's just how, you know, he's pretty much talking to the naysayers, like, look, you can't tell me nothing. Like, I'm a good producer. I'm a good fashion designer. I'm a good rapper, you know. And he even said in a song, you know, live your own life. You know, I'm going to live my life. You live yours. You know, this, you know, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to make my own kind of music. I'm not fitting into anybody's box. So those are two of my favorite songs. And then some honorable mentions. I have a whole bunch, but some honorable mention songs. I have Say You Will, Streetlights, Bad News, Coldest Winter, you know, all from 808.
Yeah.
And then from some of his other albums, I like On Sight, I Am a God, from Yeezus. From Life of Pablo, I like Freestyle 4, which Freestyle 4 sounds like it could be like a throwaway song from Yeezus, because it had that same, you know, abrasive sound to it. 30 Hours, Fade, St. Pablo, Part 2, are some of my other favorite songs I like from Kanye.
It's a solid list.
Yeah. I even want to mention a few videos. I mentioned them a little bit.
Please.
The Kanye affiliate, Panda by Designer, I saw that video was just, I thought it was a really good video with some of the camera angles in there. And even Kanye in the video, like, it was cool how they were, both of those artists were like juxtaposed, because you got Designer who's like, you know, just all over the place in the video. He's just, you know, turned up, which, you know, that's who Designer is. And then Kanye, he like, towards the end, I think they're both standing up, and Kanye is just kind of like in the background, just chilling, like he's like the older hip hop, you know, elder statesman, just, you know, just kind of chilling, you know. that whole visual just, you know, just kind of blew my mind. It was just like, this is a cool video. I'm sure, you know, Kanye gave some, you know, input on the video. But that was a memorable video. Runaway, obviously, that was just, you know, the aesthetically was just a good video. And then The Corner, Commons, The Corner that I mentioned earlier, Kanye directed that. I thought that was a good video. I think Timothy from the Museum on your podcast, I think she mentioned The Last Poets. They were in that song. And, it, you know, it was just Kanye bridging the gap between generations, you know, with The Last Poets. And again, it worked. You know, you mentioned, you know, you talked, you know, we were talking about how those reggae samples worked on Yeezus. I think those the Last Poets on Common Song The Corner also worked. You know, it was just a good song and good video.
I'm so excited to watch this video.
yeah, you definitely Google some of these artists and some of these videos. It's it takes you down the memory lane and just even gives you just even a better appreciation for Kanye. Like, you know, I know people talk about his more current work now, Life of Pablo, Graduation, but you know, even before that, you know, you could see the artist in the making, you know, the fashion designer in the making.
Yeah, there was a lot of foreshadowing. Like, the core of who Kanye is now is always there. It's not like seeing the Beatles when they first came over versus like John Lennon and Yoko and being like, what? Who? How did he become him? What?
Yeah.
I think we're at the point of your last call. You just get an uninterrupted period to say whatever you want to say and give your closing thoughts.
Sounds good. Well, I just wanted to say, Kanye, you know, whether you love him or hate him, he reminds me of a Jean-Michel Basquiat, where he was just not going to put himself in a box as just a producer or just a rapper. You know, we're going to look back 50 years from now and really see, a genius, you know, on so many different levels. Aside from that, you know, just I'm looking forward to his projects. I wish I could try to get a pair of his sneakers. You know, I've been trying to get some of the, like I like to use the 750s. I wasn't sure what to make of them at first, but I saw them in person. I saw someone wearing them in person and liked them. But I've just been a Kanye fan from day one. I like his, just like him. I can identify with him. Not only am I a fan, but you know, I could see him as a peer. You know, I could see myself, you know, working for Donda and giving some, you know, giving some feedback to him. And aside from that, just wanted to give a shout out to my family. Give a shout out to my son Christian. Shout out to my wife Jennifer. They support me with my love for music. They both have come with me on different, you know, at different concerts. Again, my son Christian, he's a big Kanye fan. We can bond when it comes to music and talking about Kanye. So, and I just, you know, lastly wanted to thank you and your podcast for doing what you do, you know, bringing Kanye fans together to have these good discussions. It's always good to listen to your podcast because regardless of, you know, whether you bring someone on who's a fan or who's someone like Timothy who took Kanye on tour, I think everyone can share some interesting stories about Kanye and perhaps tell you something that you didn't know about him. So just wanted to commend you on a job well done. Scary. Scary. Scary.